respond earnestly and faithfully to his witness. We often mistake Jesus for a mere earthly king, friendly companion, problem solver, failing to see him as the ruler of all creation. We do not appreciate the depth of his passion and sacrifice on the cross, failing to acknowledge him as our way of salvation. Even in this Lenten season, we have not walked faithfully in the way of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, we pray, and bring us ever more fully into the joy of union with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear these words from 1 John. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Let's continue in song, focusing on Christ, the sacrificial lamb who paid our debt.
All sufficient merit, shining like the sun, a fortune I inherit by no work I have done. My righteousness I forfeit at my Savior's cross, where all sufficient merit did what I could not. In love he condescended, eternal now in time, a life without a blemish, the Maker made to die. The law could never save us, our lawlessness had won, until the pure and spotless Lamb had finally come. It is done, it is finished, no more debt I owe, paid in full, all sufficient, merit now my own. I lay down my garments, any empty post, good works now all corrupted by the sinful host, dressed in my Lord Jesus, a crimson robe made white. No more fear of judgment, his righteousness is mine. It is done, it is finished, no more debt I owe, paid in full, all sufficient, merit now I own. It is done, it is finished, no more debt I owe, paid in full, all sufficient, merit now I own. All sufficient merit, firm in life and death, the joy of my salvation shall be my final breath. And when I stand accepted before the throne of God, I'll gaze upon my Jesus and thank him for the cross. Yes, I'll thank him for the cross.
We praise him for paying our debt, taking on the crucifixion. Let us remember that he is our righteousness, the one we run after, the one we pray to be more like.
Run and run, the law demands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. Bear the news the gospel brings. It bids me fly, it gives me wings. Bearing shame and all my sin, there in my place he stood condemned. Here I stand, now justified. My guilt is his grace is mine. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Now and forevermore my heart confess, Christ is all my righteousness. Christ is all my righteousness. My accuser, he may roar of countless sins that I have done. These I know, and thousands more. Behold, my God, he knows not one.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Now and forevermore, my heart confess, Christ is all my righteousness. Christ is all my righteousness. When I stand before the throne, and dressed in beauty not my own, then, Lord, I fully know, not till that day, how much I owe. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. For now this sinner's heart has found its rest. Christ is all my righteousness. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Now and forevermore my heart confess, Christ is all my righteousness. Christ is all my righteousness.
Father, we praise you this day that we can come to your house, that we can sing songs, we can offer praise to you. I pray that you would be with us this morning. Open our hearts to your word. Do a work in us. Let us know that you are here. Be with us this morning. In your name, amen.
Now, please stay standing as we read God's word. It comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11, which is page 826 in the Pew Bible in front of you. Listen, for this is God's word. Now, when they, Jesus and his disciples, drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them, their coats on them, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." You may be seated, for this is the word of the Lord. And our kids are dismissed to Heritage Kids. As they shuffle out, let us prepare our hearts to pray to our Heavenly Father this morning. Father, we rejoice knowing that the King has come and is coming again. We praise you that you are a faithful God, and we are thankful that you are not just one who brings us condemnation, but you are also the one who justifies your people. For you are a good master who gives good gifts to his people. That we would be thankful this morning as we look to launch new life in a new church here in Kutztown. Even though we come and we are thankful that you, even when we condemn ourselves, you are greater than our hearts, and that you are gracious and merciful to the ungodly. We pray for those in this season that have plenty, that they would be generous. And for those in a season of life that are in need, that they would be provided for by your merciful hand. We pray that all would come as one under the banner of Christ. Father, we thank you, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in Topton as they have sent us out and they have sacrificed to bless us, to bless Kutztown, to bless you. We pray that that blessing would be returned to them tenfold, Father. This morning we pray for our dear brother Sean, Pastor Sean, as he comes to proclaim Christ to us. So we pray that our hearts would be stirred and that we would respond, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." May we rejoice in your goodness and your glory this morning as we look to your Son for comfort and rest. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It's amazing how there's so many less seats filled every time the kids go back. It's like half the congregation left. It's always, no, it's a great thing to hear the pitter-patter of the kids going back to the Heritage Kids to learn God's word and be excited about it. So I love that. And just so you know, they're just on the other side of this wall, so you may hear them at times. Just no worries. This morning, we're in Matthew 21, 1 through 11. And we're going to see this morning that Jesus reveals himself as the humble king who fulfills God's promises and calls his people to follow him in obedient service and genuine worship. Have you ever put something into GPS and you already have in your mind how you're going to get there? I do this all the time. You know the roads, you know the way, you know, you think you know the shortcuts and the ways around, yet the GPS is telling you a certain way to go. Then all of a sudden, you're going your own way, and it says, rerouting, 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 that annoying sound of rerouting. You sit there driving thinking, I know where I'm going. I'm not rerouting. I know exactly which way to go. But we have our own way of doing things. The thing is, we don't realize that the GPS knows where the traffic is, where the accidents are, where the construction is, that we can avoid those. Yet we can continue on our own way, and then we hit that traffic, we hit that construction, and we wonder, oh man, now I'm going to be late, because we're following our own way. We trust our way. We need to trust the one who sees the whole picture. And that's what's exactly happening in the passage today. The people already mapped out their route for the Messiah. They had expectations. Here's what they thought. The Messiah would overthrow Rome. He would take power. He would restore Israel to national glory. In their minds, this was obvious. This was the plan. But then Jesus shows up and God says, rerouting. Not through power, but through humility. Not through dominance, but through suffering. Not through a throne first, but through a cross. And here, the truth we need to sit in this morning is God's plan didn't match their expectations, but it was exactly what they needed. Have you ever had that time when you had certain expectations and they weren't met? And you wondered, why? Why, God? Why didn't I get this? I've been praying for this for so long. Yet God has other plans that are far greater than our own plans. And sometimes we miss that because we want the things that we want. We have our own expectations. And so many times today we can have expectations of other people as well. Just like they had the expectation of the Messiah coming to free them and give them political freedom. We have expectations as well on others that other people may not be able to live up to. Or maybe that's not even an expectation that we should be putting on them. And we see this today as Jesus enters Jerusalem. The people have an expectation, but it's not the right expectation. You see, he's entering Jerusalem at the time of Passover, and there's going to be so many more people there gathering for the Passover. And they all are awaiting a Messiah to free them from the Roman rule, not knowing what Jesus is actually there for. Their celebration for the king looks good on the surface. But underneath, they saw the king and they misunderstood the mission of this king. The humble king arrives and it's the beginning of the end. They expected a crown, but he came for a cross. They wanted freedom from Rome. He came to free them from sin. Don't miss that today, this morning. Jesus came to free us from our sin. Are you having expectations of God this morning that are of your own desires, your own wants? Sometimes we need to realize that unmet expectations are God's mercy. God's plan is better than what we would choose, even when it's hard, even when it's slower, even when it doesn't make sense. God has a plan. And his plan doesn't always align with what we expect. This is not the start of the story. It's the climax of the story. 20 chapters of Matthew of ministry lead us to this moment. Every miracle, every teaching, every step leads to this moment of the final week. This is the final week to the road to the cross. Nothing here is accidental. This is God's plan unfolding. And we will see that this morning. Before we dive into today's text, let me pray for our time in God's word. God, we thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us. God, thank you that in times that we have expectations that you don't always meet our expectations, but succeed them in different ways. God, thank you that you know all and you have a plan for each one of our lives, that we can be dependent on you and obedient to you, knowing that you love us and that you will always be there for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we see in verses 1 through 3, they're approaching Jerusalem. They came to Bethphage, which actually means a house of unripe olives or figs, which may be the place that Jesus actually cursed the fig tree, but it's not sure. As they're approaching, I can just imagine that moment. They're approaching, they're coming to Jerusalem. Jesus and the 12 and those that are with them. And I could just imagine Jesus stopping in that moment, maybe to rest, maybe to collect his thoughts, I don't know. But in that moment, he sends two disciples saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." As soon as I read this, I thought, well, which disciples did he send? We want to know who was sent, don't we? But then we realize in this passage this morning, we have to realize that it's not about the two disciples. The focus is Jesus, and we need to keep that focus. It doesn't matter which one of the disciples went. The point is that they went. They went in that moment, not knowing for sure what they'd exactly find, just going off of Jesus' word. I think we could say today, honestly, that we would be like, okay, Jesus, this doesn't make any sense. There's going to be a donkey there waiting for me to grab, and nobody's going to stop me. I may have some doubt. But we don't hear that in this passage. They just went. And they find it. And when they go, they find it exactly as Jesus said. We need to realize here, too, is this last part. When he says the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. What authority that is. Jesus is not going with them. Yet Jesus' authority goes before them. Knowing that if anybody says anything, that they will give the donkey to them for the Lord's work. He ordains the details before they even happen. This was planned before the foundation of the world. Let's not forget that. There was a plan from the beginning for all this. So this isn't just coming out of surprise. This isn't something that Jesus is just hoping that would happen. This was ordained way before the foundation of the world, and Jesus knew. Why? Because Jesus was there before the foundation of the world as well. We see in Matthew 16, 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and then on the third day be raised. We see the musts in this verse. He must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things. He must die. He will be raised again. This is the divine necessity. This isn't something that might happen. This isn't something that may happen sometime down the road. This is a must. These things have to happen. We need to realize that the king's mission is never accidental. There's a purpose to it all. Here's where this meets with us. We often want full clarity before we obey. We want God to explain everything. Show me the whole plan. Tell me how it's going to work. Help me understand first. But obedience doesn't require full understanding. Does any of those sound like you? Wanting to know for sure what's going to happen and know it and have proof of it. It's hard for us to be obedient not knowing for sure. It's hard for us to just go like the disciples just went, isn't it? Especially when we're... Just think of this. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Would you have went that time? Would you have went then? I think a lot of us sitting here would question it and doubt. And that's our own sin, our own sinful nature that's just pouring out of us at those times. I want to challenge everybody this morning that if you ever have those moments when you're doubting, when you're fearful, when you don't know what the outcome's going to be, when it's not clear, but you feel this call from God to do something, step out in that faith. God will never let you fall in that. God is with us. He strengthens us, and he gives us the wisdom that we need at times. Don't be like the GPS in the beginning of my sermon here and going our own way. Follow that GPS that God has set before us in God's word. We need to realize that if he is Lord, you can trust his direction. So a real question today to ask is not, do I understand? Rather, do I trust him? The disciples in that moment trusted Jesus. And we get to verses 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, a fowl of a beast of burden. Again, we see the king comes differently than expected to fulfill prophecy. Why does Matthew give us this excerpt from Zechariah 9:9 to show us that this was ordained before? This is our proof. This isn't just coming out of the blue. This isn't just something that just came up. This is something that God has ordained and has said beforehand. And we can have confidence in that. And this isn't the only time in Scripture that this happens. There's many others. But yet, sometimes we can still doubt and have different expectations, our own expectations. We need to realize why it was so important for Jesus to ride in on that donkey. The people were expecting a fierce king who would free them from the Roman reign. They would have expected him to ride in on a horse, just like you see in Revelation 19. A horse is a sign of the battle and strength that a king would ride in on, not a donkey. A donkey, when a king rode in on a donkey, it was a sign of peace. Yet, even though Jesus rides in on the donkey, he's still being celebrated. Do the people not realize that he's coming in peace? This is a sign of peace. He's not coming to wage war against the Romans or any earthly battle. His war is against sin. We see that they wanted a warrior, but what did they get? They got a savior. They wanted power, but God sent humility. This king is not coming to crush their enemies. He came to save sinners. He came to save you and me. If you get nothing else today, get that. Jesus came for you. Jesus died for you. The cross is for you. That should humble you. That should motivate you to go from here today to spread that word of the cross to others, that they too can be saved, that they too can hear God's word and be saved. You see, God's kingdom doesn't advance through dominance, but through humility. Again, sometimes we have these expectations just like they did when they wanted a king, but not the king that came. God will never conform to our expectations. What looks weak may actually be God's power. Just think of that. In that time when Jesus was entering Jerusalem and they're thinking that he's coming to wage war and he comes in peace, how much power is in that? What looks like loss, what feels like delay, what feels like weakness may actually be God doing his deepest work. You ever have those moments like me where you say, God, why do I have to wait? Why do we have to wait? There's probably moments throughout meeting with the core team that I thought that, why do we have to wait? Let's just start meeting on Sundays. Not our timing. God's timing, and we need to follow what God has planned and ordained. We need to follow his GPS, not make our own route to where we want to get, but follow that route that God has us on and be patient with it. So many times we crave that recognition and we want to be acknowledged and we want to be celebrated. But this passage this morning shows us that the two disciples did not have any of that. Yet what did they do? What part did they play in Jesus coming to Jerusalem? What part did they play leading up to the cross? They were obedient. We see in verses 6 and 7, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks, and he sat on them. Again, it doesn't say which disciples. But yet you see this idea of submission as well with the disciples by taking their cloaks off and putting them on the donkey for Jesus to sit on. When God is calling you, are you willing to go? Or do you have all those questions and you need those answers filled before you go? The disciples just went. No questions, no wondering, at least not out loud. They just went. And I think Matthew here does this to get a point across too, is that the focus needs to be on Jesus. Just like this morning, the focus doesn't need, just because I'm up here, standing up here, sharing God's word and teaching God's word doesn't mean that focus is on me. It should be on God, not on me. So many times we can want that, like I said before, that recognition, acknowledgement. But we need to give God the due respect that he deserves and give him the credit and the acknowledgement. These disciples prepared the way and didn't need the spotlight. They were part of God's plan without being the center of it. God accomplishes his purposes through ordinary obedience that we see here. Are you being obedient this morning? Or are you looking for recognition? Are you looking for that a boy? And not pointing to Jesus, who gives us everything that we have that we need. We are nothing without him. And we need to remember that always. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we think we know the way and we follow our own GPS and get lost or stuck in traffic. We need to realize today, it's not about who we are. It's about whose we are. We are Jesus. Without him, we are nothing. Verses 8 and 9 tell us, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Again, we see the crowd putting out their cloaks on the road. This is a sign of submission by the people to the king. And the reference of the Son of David here is that reference to the king, looking at Jesus as their king. But again, not the king that they're expecting. But in this moment, they probably don't know yet what's about to happen. They probably have no idea that later in the week, Jesus is going to the cross. But yet they're celebrating right now because they think that king has come to save them from the oppression that they have around them. The thing we need to see is you can praise Jesus and still misunderstand him. The crowd misunderstood him. They had this idea of who he was or what he would be. They were submitting to something they didn't really understand. It looks good on the outside. They had the right words, but the wrong expectations. And again, they're singing Hosanna because that means save now. It's interesting that they use the now part, acting like Jesus is coming in now and he's going to save them right then and there, and that'll be the end of it. They shouted, "Save us." But that's not the way they expected him to come save them. Because they wanted a crown for a king. They didn't want the cross. They wanted a king to change their circumstances. They didn't want a king to change their hearts. We see here in this moment, there's some tension. We see praise on Sunday. Jesus coming into Jerusalem and everybody's praising him, celebrating, singing, and happy. And then Friday comes and rejection happens. So what changed in that moment? What changed between Sunday and Friday? Their expectation wasn't met. You see, emotional worship without truth will not last. They knew who Jesus was. They knew he was doing miracles and all these different things as he was going and teaching. But they didn't really know who he was. We can worship and still misunderstand. True worship submits to who he is. Did you come this morning to submit to who Jesus Christ is? Or did you come just to check a box or to feel good? We need to submit to Jesus. Verses 10 and 11, and when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." The whole city was stirred up in a frenzy. Some probably celebrating, some worried that he's going to take over. I'm sure the religious leaders of that time were scared of what would happen. The people are rebelling, in a sense. The whole city is stirred. But what we need to see from these two verses here is the ultimate question we need to ask and that we need to answer. You must answer, who is Jesus? This is still the most important question today, as it was then. They said he was a prophet from Nazareth. Nothing ever good comes out of Nazareth, right? Except for Jesus. Jesus was far more than a prophet. You see, they had that close answer. They had some of it. but they still miss the truth in it. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is King. Jesus is God in the flesh. Is Jesus just important, or is he Lord? Have you ever admired him or surrendered to him? There's a difference there. Admiration keeps control, and surrender gives it up. Are you giving it up today? Are you handing your life over to Jesus today? We see through all this and this entry into Jerusalem and through the cross that this king wins through humility. He comes not on a war horse, but a donkey. Not a throne, but a cross. Not conquering Rome, but conquering sin. You see, the king we celebrate is the king who suffers. The victory doesn't come from a battle, a fierce battle. It comes through sacrifice. And we need to respond to the king rightly. We need to obey him like the disciples did during this time and just go. Not have those questions, am I good enough? Will I have the right words? What will I do? What will I find? What will happen? No, just go. He goes with you. We need to worship him in truth. And we do this by answering the question, who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is this morning? Hear this as we close this morning. Don't just wave branches. Bow your heart. Don't just say, Hosanna. Surrender your life. Receive him as he is, not as you expect. You see, the king who deserved a throne chose a donkey so he could go to the cross for you. Never forget that. Let us pray. God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that you sent your son to the cross for us, not to triumph over people or the reign of government, but to save us from our sin. God, we thank you for that great gift that you have given us through your son, through the blood on the cross. God, as we approach this week, as we go through Holy Week this week and we approach Resurrection Sunday, let us be reminded of who you are, what you came for. And God, let us remind ourselves and just contemplate who we are. Let us ask ourselves, are we yours? Do we have the truth? Are we worshiping you in truth? God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you guys stand as we sing this last song?
If our God is for us, who can be against us? His mighty power holds us firm. There is no one like him. There is none before him. is our way ashore. If our God is for us, He will always lead us to paths of righteousness and hope. If it brings us goodness, He will not withhold it, for from His hand all blessings flow. What shall we say but hallelujah? For none can take us from His love. He won't forsake the ones He died to save. Yes, our God is for us. If our God is for us, will He not defend us when Satan's accusations roar? For the blood of Jesus has brought us freedom. He is our confidence alone. What shall we say but hallelujah? For none can take us from His love. He won't forsake the ones He died to save. Yes, our God is for us. The tribulation, trial, the pain, persecution, loss, or gain, struggle, battle, lie, or shame can take us from His love. We know that neither death nor life, nor angels, rulers, place, or time, the power of hell, nor death, nor height can take us from His love. The tribulation, trial, the pain, persecution, loss, or gain, struggle, battle, lie, or shame can take us from His love. We know that neither death nor life, nor angels, rulers, place, or time, the power of hell, nor depth, nor height can take us from His love. What shall we say but hallelujah? For none can take us from His love. He won't forsake the ones He died to save. Yes, our God is for us. What shall we say but hallelujah? For none can take us from His love. He won't forsake the ones He died to save. Yes, our God is for us. Yes, our God is for us. Yes, our God is for us.
May you go from this place rejoicing, welcoming Jesus not only with your lips, but with your lives, receiving Him as your humble and victorious King. As the crowds cried Hosanna, may your heart continually cry out in trust, looking to Christ as your true salvation and peace. May the King who came in gentleness rule in your hearts this week, bringing humility where there is pride, peace where there is unrest, and hope where it is needed most. And may you walk in joyful obedience, spreading His praise wherever you go, until the whole world declares, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Go out from here, rooted in faith, united in Christ, and living His mission. Go in that peace.